Thank you for tuning in to the Harrison Clark Expedition Through the Bible on KEQX 89.7. The views, opinions, contents, or beliefs expressed on the Harrison Clark Expedition Through the Bible are the sole production of the Harrison Clark Expedition and its agents. The views, opinions, or beliefs expressed on the Harrison Clark Expedition may not be the same of KEQX or any of its agents. This program is brought to you each week by the Park Heights Church of Christ in Hamilton, Texas, the Patrick Street Church of Christ in Dublin, Texas, the Hillcrest Church of Christ in Stephenville, Texas, the Windmill Church of Christ in Weatherford, Texas, as well as the Bangs Church of Christ in Bangs, Texas.
Welcome once again to the Harrison Clark Expedition Through the Bible. I'm David Harris, and I'm here with Brother Kerry Clark tonight. And we are going to continue our study in the Holy Spirit, one of the topics that really baffles a lot of people, Kerry, and one of the things that we really want to try to tackle. And we welcome your calls and your questions, your input into the program. This is a live call-in talk show radio. We have a number that you can call, 254-445-2473, or if you don't want to talk on the air, you can email us at keqx@rocketmail.com, and we do invite you to call in anytime you feel that you'd like to. It doesn't even have to pertain to the subject that we're talking about. If you've got a question, shoot it to us, and we'll give you a Bible answer.
That's right.
That's been our motto all along. You've heard what men have had to say. Now listen to what the Bible has to say. And so for the last 3 weeks, I believe, we have been considering the Holy Spirit and what the Bible has to say about the Holy Spirit. And by the way, that's the only way that we know the Holy Spirit through the revelation of the Word of God. And so the first week we considered the misconceptions of the Holy Spirit, how that a lot of people thought that the Holy Spirit was some kind of a liquid or some kind of electricity that just came upon you. And then the next week we covered the Godhead, because the Holy Spirit is an integral part of the Godhead. He is a person. He's not a liquid. He is not electricity. He is a person. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, part of the Godhead. We covered that. And then last week we considered the Holy Spirit inspiration of the Bible. Biblical inspiration. The fact that the Bible itself comes from God's words. And we know this because the Bible itself it reassures us that this is the case. And, Kerry, I know you have a passage of Scripture that you want to read for us and make a few comments, and then we will do a little review of what we did last week and get right back into the topic.
Friends, if you have your New Testaments, I want to encourage you to open in your Bible to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3, we'll begin our reading in verse number 15. The Apostle Paul writes to this young preacher Timothy, and he says, "And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by the inspiration of God. It is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works." You know, David, as we look at that verse of Scripture, several things jump out. First of all, the Scripture says that Timothy knew these Holy Scriptures from a child. And David, it's been my contention for a long time that we are missing great opportunities in not reading and studying the Bible with our children, even when they're very young.
Right. You know, one of the great myths out there is that you cannot understand the Bible.
Yeah.
and this dispels that myth immediately. You can understand the Bible if you'll read it.
You know, David, and you and I have studied with lots of kids throughout the years. We've been to church camps, done all kinds of things, and we've worked with children as young as third grade and even younger that could read and understand exactly what God wanted them to do. And, David, as I mentioned that, I also want to take just a moment to send out a plug. Tomorrow night in Hamilton at the Park Heights Church of Christ, we'll be hosting the Summer Youth Series.
Right.
It starts at 7 o'clock, and so if you're in Hamilton or that surrounding area, and you know, you're third grade and up through school, we want you to come and be with us tomorrow night. But Paul said that all Scripture in verse 16. David, how much does all leave out?
It's every bit of it.
There's not an ounce of Scripture left out. All Scripture is given by the inspiration of God. And if you were with us last week, David explained this word that is translated given by the inspiration of God. And actually in the Greek, it's a combination of some Greek words, but it literally means that it is God-breathed. And the picture that Paul is painting for us is that God drew in his breath, just like we do when we speak, and then as he breathed out the words, it vibrated across his vocal cords. Now, we're not trying to attribute God to being a human being and having a body like we have, but the inspiration of the Bible gives that picture that God breathed in with his breath, and then he breathed out, and it says that he breathed out the very words of the Bible. And David, last week we talked about the fact that Paul made an argument in Galatians chapter 3 over a word being singular or plural. And so all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God.
Now, the one of the factors that we need to realize here is that the Holy Spirit is the author of the Bible. It is authored by the Holy Spirit. And when we say that Paul said this, Paul is being directed by the Holy Spirit. And so when we read the words that Paul penned, the very words that he is writing in the Bible are of God. So we ask the question, we know the Bible is the work of the Holy Spirit. He inspired 40 men to write it, and 32 from the Old Testament and 8 for the New Testament. Now, you have no contradictions in the Bible. There's absolutely no way that that many men could be associated with God's work and not have an error there. And so we've got one author.
That's
we've
right.
got the other are penmen, and they are penning and they are writing just exactly what they are getting from the Holy Spirit. We also covered the fact that the penmen claimed that they were writing the very words of God, and this verbal inspiration is what we have here, the exact words of God, and is even proven to us when David said in 2 Samuel chapter 23 and verse number 2, it says, "The Spirit of the Lord spoke by me, and his word was in my tongue." And so we have Holy Spirit inspiration in the Old Testament and Holy Spirit inspiration in the New Testament. Now, all of the prophecy that was prophesied back there in that Old Testament, it comes true.
Every bit of it.
Nothing could have been done like that without God's word associated with it, Kerry.
Well, David, you're exactly right. And when we looked at last week, we talked about the fact that over and over and over, and I really am not overstating the case when I say that, over and over again, men who wrote the Old Testament claimed that they were speaking the very words of God. We pointed out that when Moses penned the book of Exodus, it's 40 chapters long, and in 161 times in that book, he attributes what he wrote to what God said. Friends, that's 4 times per chapter, and we could go through, and we're not going to go through and look at all the books, but David, that's demonstrated over and over again, and there are some times, David, that the writer even says 12 times in a chapter, averaging it out, 12 times in a chapter, that what he said were the very words of God. So friends, the Old Testament was inspired of the Holy Spirit of God.
That's when we read the Bible, Kerry, we can know that the creation account is true.
That's right.
Because God said it was true. A God that cannot lie, by the way, Titus chapter 1 verse 2 says God cannot lie. It's not that he will not lie. He cannot lie. It is impossible for him to lie. Now, if we believe God, if we have faith, the faith of the Bible, then we're going to believe the creation account. We're going to believe the account of the flood. By the way, Jesus also believed it and mentions it in the New Testament for. So all of these things that are given to us, the crossing of the Red Sea, manna for food for 40 years in the wilderness, and the swallowing of swallowing of Jonah by the fish, all of these things are true because God said that they were true. Now, there are a lot of people out there, a lot of skeptics out there that would say that they are not. But we're looking at the verbal inspiration, the word given by God here by us and revealed to us in our Bibles. And when we get into the New Testament, there is no difference there either. Now, Kerry, when we look at the Bible, we see that the Bible is given this way. Then we also know that when man does something, it's nothing like that whatsoever. I need to relate just something that happened last week. As most of you know that listen to this program, we fought a battle on this radio station right here against that blasphemous play about Jesus Christ called Corpus Christi that the Tarleton State University was about to put on. It was through your help and the listening audience of this radio, it was through your help that we got that stopped. It wasn't something that Carrie and I did. We just threw it out there, and it took on a life of its own because you allowed it to.
That's right.
Well, I had a call from a man in McAllen, Texas, the other day who is extremely, extremely disturbed over the fact that there is another play out there, very, very similar, another blasphemous play about Jesus Christ and Mary. And this one may be even worse than the first one, if that's a possibility. I'm not sure that it could be. But in this particular play, the play depicts Christ as a homosexual, his mother Mary as a prostitute slash lesbian, and yeah, it's just one blasphemous thing after another, starting with the creation all the way to I don't know just exactly how far it goes, but this man, the doctor from McAllen, Texas, called and wanted to know how we stop this thing up here in Stephenville, Texas, because he was going to try to stop the play that is ongoing right now at a theater in Austin, Texas. It is called the City Theater Company in Austin, Texas. And the name of the play, Carrie, is The Most Fabulous Story Ever Told. And that's a play on words. Because there is the Bible is actually the greatest story ever told, and so now they've come up with something that is just as blasphemous as ever, and this man is needing help. I suggested to him that he call all the people he could get a hold of and tell them to call others and send them emails expressing their displeasure in all of this. But the reason I bring this up, Carrie, is this. We look at the Bible. We look at the inspired Word of God. It is the truth. It is the absolute truth. There's no lie in it. And yet when man gets a hold of something, it can go just that far, depicting the very same characters that the Holy Spirit is telling us about here.
Well, David, you know, when men begin to tamper with the Word of God, and you take something like this, David, where somebody very obviously anti-God,
mm-hmm,
anti-Bible, anti-Jesus Christ, anti-anything that is good and right, and they're going to twist their ideas, and you know, like you're saying, the Bible is inspired of God, but you take this, friends, and I don't believe I'm overstating the case when I say you take this garbage,
mm-hmm,
that these guys are putting forth and claiming that it is the most fabulous story ever told. And by the way, it pictures Adam and Steve in the garden, not Adam and Eve. And my question is, David, where did Steve come from?
Oh, wow.
You know, where did this Steve come from? You know, it's just, folks, there's a fancy Greek word for that. It's called hogwash. It just doesn't exist in the Word of God. Friends, if you want to join our discussion, the number to call is 254-445-2473. That's area code 254-445-2473, or send us an email at keqx@rocketmail.com. But David, hopefully we can get this play stopped as well. I understand that it's already appeared in theaters up in the north, and they're trying to come down and of course introduce it to our area. And of course where they're going to begin is logical. They're going to begin in Austin, which is, mm-hmm, the most liberal county, you know, in the state of Texas.
Right.
And so they have a plan, and hopefully this Dr. Seba can get that stopped. And friends, we want everybody to do as much as they can to stop these blasphemous plays from being presented.
You know, something, we're talking about the inspiration of the Bible here, and one of the things as we read and got as much information as we could about this place so that we could relay it to the listeners of the program, one of the things that really caught my eye on that was that the definition of evil was given there. The definition of evil is given on that play or in that play. It's whatever I don't like.
Yeah.
And by the way, that is not very far removed from what a lot of people think just
that's
outside
exactly
of
right.
The Bible. Is evil is anything that I don't like. But
yeah.
Friends, if we go to the Bible, the inspired Word of God, we find out exactly what evil is because Jesus and the Holy Spirit will identify what is evil for us. And this is the reason that it is so important that we understand the biblical inspiration that we have here of the Bible. And Carrie, I would like for us to note a few things here in the New Testament. Jesus promised his apostles that the Holy Spirit would come upon them. It would be Holy Spirit inspiration of what they were going to speak and what they were going to say.
Yes.
And we find a part of that in Matthew chapter 10. And in Matthew chapter 10, verses 18 through 20, we can read this, what Jesus told his apostles. Matthew chapter 10, verse 18. He says, "And you shall be brought before governors and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them and the Gentiles. But when they deliver you up, take no thought how or what you shall speak, for it shall be given you in the same hour what you shall speak." Now listen to this. "For it is not you that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaks in you." Very important to understand that he's making this promise to the apostles.
That's right.
And so they are going to be given the very words of God to speak, to eliminate all evil, to eliminate all misunderstandings and untruth that is out there. There are a lot of things, even at this time, that were written very similar to these plays.
That's
the,
right.
The blasphemous nature of man has not changed.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. You know, David, we also find a statement along this line in Matthew chapter 14. In Matthew chapter 14, where Jesus says in verse number 26, "But the Comforter," which is the Holy Ghost.
John.
I'm sorry, John. John chapter 14 and verse 26. "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name," listen to this, "he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you." Now, David, it's very important for us to pause for just a moment and remind our listeners that Jesus is talking to the 12 apostles.
Right.
He's not making this promise to you and to me and to everybody in the world. He's making this promise to these 12 men who the Bible describes Jesus Christ as the chief cornerstone, but the apostles are the foundation. Mm-hmm. And so these 12 men would be, what they said and what they did would be guided by the Holy Spirit. And friends, if you want to know why we say that, just read John chapter 13, John chapter 14, 15, and 16. And you will see that Jesus has just had the Lord's Supper, or the Passover Supper, I'm sorry, with the apostles. He's sitting down with them, and he begins to instruct them about things that are going to transpire after he leaves with them. Now, David, we're up against a break right now, so we want to remind everybody that the number to call is 254-445-2473. That's 445-2473, or send us an email at keqx@rocketmail.com.
Brethren, we have met to worship and adore the
Lord. Pony Express was a colorful part of American history. It ran from St. Joseph, Missouri to Sacramento, California, about 1,900 miles. The trip was made in 10 days. 40 men, each riding 50 miles a day, sped along the trail on 500 of the best horses available. To conserve weight, clothing was light. Special lightweight saddles were used. The mail pouches were thin and light also. Letters were written on thin paper and postage was $10 an ounce. Yet each rider carried a full-size Bible. It was presented to him when he joined the Pony Express, and he carried it with him on every trip. Oh, how we need Bible-toting and Bible-quoting Christians today. The Park Heights Church of Christ is committed to spreading the gospel to Central Texas and beyond by speaking the truth in love. Friends, we would like to invite you to visit our services. We have Bible classes for all ages Sunday mornings at 9:30. Our morning worship services begin at 10:25. Our evening services begin at 6 p.m. on Sunday. And we also have midweek Bible studies on Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. If you would like to contact us, please call 254-386-3953. We meet at 1300 East Boynton Street in Hamilton, and our mailing address is P.O. Box 107, Hamilton, Texas, 76531. You may also visit us on the web, www.parkheightscoc.com. We look forward to seeing you soon.
I come to the garden alone.
The prophet Isaiah said, "The people walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of the shadow of death upon them, a light has shined." Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 2. Years later, centuries later, when the apostles began to preach concerning Christ's church, this same area saw many people become Christians, and we read that in Acts chapter 8. Indeed, the light of Christ's redemption shone brightly. The light of Christ makes a difference in your life. The darkness of sin, you can find the light of His forgiveness. In the darkness of ignorance, His wisdom illumines the way. In the darkness of trials and trouble, His presence dispels the blackness. Whatever darkness threatens to overshadow your life, let Jesus be the light who drives it away. Jesus is the light of the world. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes unto the Father but by me. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that disbelieves shall be condemned." Mark chapter 16 and verse 16. You are invited to come worship with us at the Hillcrest Church of Christ, where the light of Christ is taught. Bible class begins at 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning, with worship following at 10:30. Correspondence courses are also offered. Call us at 254-968-8167. Let us worship the Lord together in spirit and in truth.
Friends, we want to welcome you back to the Harrison Clark Expedition Through the Bible. My name is Kerry Clark, and I have with me again this evening Brother David Harris, and we want to say how much we appreciate you listening to our program. We are talking about the Holy Spirit of God, and we're looking at the Holy Spirit of God in view of Him inspiring the New Testament writers to write the New Testament of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, if you want to join us in this discussion, the number to call is 254-445-2473. That's 254-445-2473, or send us an email at keqx@rocketmail.com. As we were going over to the break, we were talking about in John chapters 13 through 16 that Jesus is instructing the Holy Spirit, instructing the apostles about what would happen when He leaves and that the Holy Spirit would come. And in John 14 and verse number 26, Jesus said that the Holy Spirit would teach them everything, all things. And He said, and then the Holy Spirit would also bring to their remembrance everything that He had spoken while He was with them. And then, of course, John 16 and verse number 13, Jesus said, "How be it, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth." David, all means everything. We have all truth in the New Testament of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So He would guide them into all things, for He shall not speak of Himself, but whosoever He shall hear, that shall He, for whatsoever He shall hear, that He shall speak, and He will show you, listen to this, friends, He will show you things to come. David, very clearly, the Holy Spirit was directing the apostles about Everything that Jesus has said while he was with, they, friends, human beings have very weak memories. Now, when I say that, you may be thinking, well, I remember what I was doing yesterday, but do you remember every conversation that you had yesterday? See, the Holy Spirit was going to take and give these apostles a remembrance of everything that Jesus had taught them for the 3 to 3.5 years that they had traveled with him. Now, that's not, friend, that is not something that is humanly possible. Right. That had to come from God. Supernatural intervention.
Absolutely.
And so the Holy Spirit would guide them and teach them everything that God wanted them to say and then bring to their remembrance everything that Jesus said while he was traveling with them.
Well, this is one of the things that confuses lots of people in religion. It is so very important that we understand that he is making this promise to the apostles. He promised the apostles Holy Spirit inspiration, as Kerry just read to us. He promised them the Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
He promised them that. He promised them Holy Spirit baptism.
That's right.
He did not promise the general public this. He promised the Holy Spirit to these apostles for a certain reason. We'll get to that certain reason in just a moment. But the confusion that comes from this, Kerry, with men proclaiming, men and women alike proclaiming, especially Pentecostals, that proclaim that, you know, God is speaking to them, and here's what he told them to tell you, and the Holy Spirit is on me, and it's causing me to speak in tongues, and I've had the Holy Spirit baptism, and none of this, absolutely zero of this, was ever promised to general mankind. This was promised to the 12 apostles that Jesus was speaking to right there. And we know that because in Luke chapter 24, and do you already have that pulled up?
Yes, sir, I do.
Why don't you read for us Luke chapter 24 after Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, and right before his ascension, he gathered all of his apostles up together to give them one last piece of instruction before he ascended to be on the right hand of the Father up in heaven.
Well, it says in Luke 24, beginning in verse 44, that Jesus said unto them, and again, you can look at the context, friends, and it's the 12 apostles. He said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which are written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. David, now we did not spend the time to do this, but there are over 300 prophecies in the Old Testament about Jesus, every one of them fulfilled in the New Testament.
Correct.
And David, also, there's a lot of misunderstanding. People read the book of Daniel, they read some statements out of Isaiah and Jeremiah, and they want to apply them somewhere out in our future.
Mm-hmm.
Folks, those have already been, they've already been fulfilled in Jesus Christ.
Absolutely.
That's right. Okay, now verse number 45. Then, listen to what the Bible says. Then opened he, that is Jesus, opened he there, that's the apostles, he opened their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. And he said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and arise from the dead the third day. And that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. And he led them as far out as Bethany, and he lifted up his hands, and he blessed them. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he departed from them and carried up into heaven, and they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple praising God and praising and blessing God.
Verse 49 is very important.
Yes.
To those apostles, he said, behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. Now, the promise is the promise of this Holy Spirit.
That's
it is the promise of the Comforter. It is the promise of the inspiration that he said. It was a promise to be received by the apostles, not a command to be obeyed.
That's right.
And this is where men want to get a hold of this thing and say, you know, I'm inspired.
Yeah.
I am somehow, I have a Holy Spirit inspiration in me. And all you need to do is ask somebody, well, okay, what does Ezekiel chapter 34 and verse 2 say?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. Well, if you are inspired of God and you got the same thing that these guys got, then you should know.
That's right. That's
because
right.
He is going to guide them into all the truth, and the Word is the truth.
And you know, David, the Bible tells us in 1 John 4 and verse number 1 to try the spirits.
Mm-hmm.
So when these guys start claiming that they're apostles, and I've talked to several of them, they claim they're apostles. And I've asked them to do those things the apostles did. Heal somebody right here. Don't wait and have a big tent meeting. Do it right here in front of everybody. Let's go down to the cemetery. Raise somebody from the dead.
Right.
Show that you have these things, and they cannot do it, David. They cannot do it.
No, they cannot because they're not inspired.
Yeah.
They're absolutely not inspired.
And you know, David, we're not even asking them to do something as great as raise somebody from the dead. Just quote some Old Testament scripture for them without having to flip to it and read it. If they have the Holy Spirit directing them, He's going to bring to remembrance everything that Jesus said. He's going to teach them all the truth. So fire it off out there if you've got it.
Right. Right, and everybody that is learning and trying to get a hold of this truth, we need to call these guys on the carpet.
That's right.
We need to call these guys on the carpet to claim that they can do the same thing that the apostles did,
yeah.
That they are inspired in the same way that the apostles are, because they're not, folks.
No, they're not.
And don't let anybody fool you on that. Now, in Luke chapter 24. As you read just a moment ago.
Yes.
He told them to go to Jerusalem.
That's right.
And wait for the promise.
That's right.
Go there and wait. Then he ascended up into heaven.
Yes.
Well, that was 50 days before that great celebration was to come.
Yes.
Okay. So then here in Acts chapter 1, we find that day of Pentecost right at hand.
That's right.
In Acts chapter 1, beginning in verse number 5, here's what we read. Or let's back up to verse number 4. It says, "And being assembled together with them, he commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which, saith he, you have heard of me." Now that was back in Luke chapter 24,
right.
Verse 49. "For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days hence." Again, we're talking about the apostles' Holy Spirit baptism. "And when they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own power, but you shall receive power after the Holy Spirit is come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and to the uttermost part of the world." Now, we find here in verse number 8 especially, how God is not the author of confusion,
right.
but he is the author of peace here. He says, I want you to go, and if you had a map, you could see this. I want you to start at Jerusalem, and then I want you to feather out, and I want you to go through Judea, and then I want you to go from Judea into Samaria, and from there, I want you to feather out and go into the uttermost parts of the world,
that's
and that's exactly what they did and the very way that they did it.
That's right. And so as we go to this, friends, we're going to find that what Jesus promised them in Acts chapter 1 is going to transpire in Acts chapter 2. We're going to see it in Acts chapter 2. We'll begin in verse number 1. The Bible says, "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place." Now, David, I've got to pause there because this has caused a lot of confusion with people because they look at this word "they" in chapter 2 and verse 1, and they claim it's the 120 that was talked about earlier in Acts chapter 1. But friends, and I'm not a grammarian. If you've listened to me at all, you understand that. But David, the English language is very precise. A pronoun has to go back to its antecedent. What is the antecedent of this word? I'm not trying to impress you because I don't know anything. But I do know this. He's not talking about the 120 because in Acts 1 in verse number 26, it says they, that's the 11 apostles, because Judas had hanged himself, they're seeking replacement.
Mm-hmm.
So they gave forth their lots, and the lot fell upon Matthias, and he, that's Matthias, was numbered with the 11 apostles, and it says they were all with one accord in
right.
one place.
So we're still talking about the 12 apostles.
12 apostles still. Verse number 2, it says, suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And so they're in this house. It says that a sound, not a rushing mighty wind, came through the house, but the sound. Now, David, have you ever been through a tornado?
No, I haven't.
Well, I've been through a tornado, and let me tell you, the sound of the wind is unbelievable. And you know, you often hear people describe it as a freight train, and that's the sound that you hear. It's a can you imagine being in the city, let's say you're in Stephenville, and you hear that sound like that freight train going through? Well, what are you going to do? You're going to run outside your house and you're going to start looking around. What just happened? Where's all the damage?
Mm-hmm.
And yet there's no damage. It was just the sound of a tornado, a rushing mighty wind. And so everybody runs outside to see what happens. And it says in verse number 3 that there appeared unto them cloven tongues, and it sat upon each of them. So the 12 apostles, this cloven tongue that looks like fire sits upon each of them. And verse 4 says they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Now, David, that's that Holy Spirit baptism we've been talking about.
And that is the promise that they were to receive all the way back from Luke chapter 24.
And you remember in Luke 24, he said the promise will come, and when the promise comes, the power will come.
Right. When you got the power, you got the Spirit.
That's right. And we're going to see that exactly in this text. And so they were filled with the Holy Spirit. They began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, David, this other tongues, you mentioned it earlier. These people claim, and we're talking precisely about the charismatics, whether they're Pentecostal or whatever form it might take. They claim the ability to speak in these tongues.
Mm-hmm.
And they say these tongues are not languages, but, and friends, I'm not trying to make it sound offensive, but it's a gibberish.
Right.
I mean, you can't understand it. Nobody can understand it. David, the tongues of the Bible are not unintelligible languages. They are languages like, we would say, like Greek, French, Spanish, English. We could go through and list. These are languages that people spoke. They're not some unintelligent gibberish.
Mm-hmm.
They are actually languages that people spoke.
Right. Well, when we look at all of these languages here, it says, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. This, they didn't go out and learn.
That's right.
They didn't study these tongues. It was miraculously given to them through this Holy Spirit baptism. Jesus promised them that they would receive the Comforter, that they would receive inspiration, and that they would receive this Holy Spirit.
That's right.
And so now they have the tongues. They are able to speak to other people who cannot speak the language that they are speaking themselves. And it says there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. And now when this was noise, that noise that you talked about just a moment ago, abroad, the multitude came together, and they were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed, and they marveled, saying to one another, behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? Again, making reference to every one of those apostles that came out of the region of Galilee. Mm-hmm. Are these not all Galileans? And they are in Judah. And that's the reason the proclamation there was made. And how hear we, every man, in our own tongue, in our own language, wherein we were born. And then it goes on to tell us about 15 different languages, or 15 different countries, or different regions where these people come from, and they all heard this word in their own language. So there would not be any mistake about what they heard.
Yeah, David, we use this today. We talk about your mother tongue, and we're talking about the language that you had at your birth? What was the tongue of your ancestors? What language did they speak? Well, friends, I hate to say it again, but we're up against another break. And so we sure hope you'll join us in this discussion. And friends, as we've said, we want you to be a part of this. So the number to call is 254-445-2473. That's 254-445-2473, or send us an email at keqx@rocketmail.com, and we'll see you on the other side of the break.
I come to the garden alone.
The prophet Isaiah said, "The people walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of the shadow of death upon them, a light has shined." Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 2. Years later, centuries later, when the apostles began to preach concerning Christ's church, this same area saw many people become Christians, and we read that in Acts chapter 8. Indeed, the light of Christ's redemption shone brightly. The light of Christ makes a difference in your life. The darkness of sin, you can find the light of His forgiveness. In the darkness of ignorance, His wisdom illumines the way. In the darkness of trials and trouble, His presence dispels the blackness. Whatever darkness threatens to overshadow your life, let Jesus be the light who drives it away. Jesus is the light of the world. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes unto the Father but by me. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that disbelieves shall be condemned." Mark chapter 16 and verse 16. You are invited to come worship with us at the Hillcrest Church of Christ, where the light of Christ is taught. Bible class begins at 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning, with worship following at 10:30. Correspondence courses are also offered. Call us at 254-968-8167. Let us worship the Lord together in spirit and in truth.
Brethren, we have met to worship and adore the
Pony Express was a colorful part of American history. It ran from St. Joseph, Missouri to Sacramento, California, about 1,900 miles. The trip was made in 10 days. 40 men, each riding 50 miles a day, sped along the trail on 500 of the best horses available. To conserve weight, clothing was light. Special lightweight saddles were used. The mail pouches were thin and light also. Letters were written on thin paper and postage was $10 an ounce. Yet each rider carried a full-size Bible. It was presented to him when he joined the Pony Express, and he carried it with him on every trip. Oh, how we need Bible-toting and Bible-quoting Christians today. The Barkhide Church of Christ is committed to spreading the gospel to Central Texas and beyond by speaking the truth in love. Friends, we would like to invite you to visit our services. We have Bible classes for all ages Sunday mornings at 9:30. Our morning worship services begin at 10:25. Our evening services begin at 6 p.m. on Sunday. And we also have midweek Bible studies on Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. If you would like to contact us, please call 254-386-3953. We meet at 1300 East Boynton Street in Hamilton, and our mailing address is P.O. Box 107, Hamilton, Texas, 76531. You may also visit us on the web, www.parkheightscoc.com. We look forward to seeing you soon.
Welcome back to the Harrison Clark Expedition Through the Bible. I'm David Harris. I'm here with Brother Kerry Clark, and we are speaking today about the Holy Spirit and the inspiration of the Bible. We have compared what men have written and the blasphemous things that come out of some men and compared that to what the Holy Spirit has given us through the Bible. We have the words of God, the actual words of God, and we want you to be a part of this show. The number to call in is 254-445-2473, or you can email us at keqx@rocketmail.com. Now, we covered just a moment ago the fact that Jesus promised the Holy Spirit inspiration to the apostles. He promised the Comforter to the apostles. He promised them Holy Spirit baptism, and we read about that Holy Spirit baptism in Acts chapter 2. and verses 1 through actually about number verse number 13, how they were able to speak with the tongues, the languages that were given them from the Holy Spirit. We also made a point to be very clear on this one aspect, that this promise was made to the apostles. Right. It was not made to man. So now if you've got a man telling you that he can do what the apostles are doing, you better question him real hard and let him show you in the Bible where he gets this, because it will not be found there. And we need to be very persistent about quizzing these individuals who claim that they have this kind of a power, because they just flat don't have it, Kerry. Now, the recipients of this Holy Spirit baptism, they were filled with the Holy Spirit. They spoke as the Holy Spirit gave them utterance. And then Peter preached a sermon beginning there in verse number 14. And it was an inspired sermon, meaning that he was speaking the words of God. And it's very important that we get this, that it's not Peter preaching that song, that sermon. It is God the Holy Spirit preaching the sermon through Peter the Apostle.
And the other 11 also.
And so here we have something that is very interesting. These are not men's words. These are God's words. And then he says in verse 39, "For the promise is unto you and unto your children and unto all them that are afar off, and to as many as the Lord our God shall call." Now, all of those that were afar off were also the Gentiles.
That's right.
And so he's preaching to the Jews. He's telling the Gentiles that that promise of that Holy Spirit salvation is going to be for the Gentiles as well. That promise started all the way back in Genesis chapter 12 with Abraham.
That's right. And, you know, David, it actually began in Genesis 3 and verse 15 when God promised to send the Messiah. And the Messiah was going to be able to destroy the works of Satan. And then, of course, more precisely stated in Genesis chapter 12 with Abraham, from Abraham's descendants, his seed, the Bible said. And we quoted last week, talked about it this week in Galatians 3 and verse number 19, I believe it is. He said, not seed, or 16, not seeds, plural, but seed, singular.
Right.
And so he's talking about Jesus the Christ. He's going to be the one that comes, and he's going to be the one that is going to bring salvation to both Jew and Gentile. And that's really what Peter is saying in Acts 2 and verse number 39.
Right.
People have blown this so far out of its context. And friends, one of the things we've stressed throughout our program, keep things in their context.
Right.
Don't bring them out of their context and try to make them teach something that they don't. Friends, we do have a comment to our Facebook, and it says that they appreciate us bringing up the fact to ask them to quote a scripture to prove, you know, if you've got what they've got, then you ought to be able to quote the scripture without the aid of the Bible. And so the listener said, thank you for bringing that up, because they would use that in their discussions
right.
with people. So, Brian, we appreciate you listening to the program this evening. And so all those that are afar off, referring to the Gentiles, and friends, that's not going to happen for another 8 to 10 years, and that's going to be recorded in Acts chapter 10 with the conversion of the household of Cornelius. Friends, join us in our discussion. We still have several minutes left. The number to call is 254-445-2473. That's 254-445-2473. Or send us an email at keqx@rocketmail.com.
Now, that last email or that Facebook comment that you got was from Brownwood, Texas?
Well, it doesn't say, but yeah, I think that's where it is.
From Brownwood, Texas. So this internet is a fine thing.
Amen.
We can get people listening from far away. Here in Acts chapter 2, I want us to go back for just a moment, because we have the terms of entrance into the kingdom.
That's
here.
Right.
And the men that were listening to that sermon that was preached by the Holy Spirit through the apostles, they ask in verse 37, men and brethren, what shall we do? and they were very definitely told what to do to have their sins washed away and at the same time to be added into the kingdom, part of the body of the saved.
That's right.
And he says to them in verse number 38, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. And then he says, you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, for the promise is unto you and unto your children and unto all them that are far off and to as many as the Lord our God shall call. And so that promise that he's referring to is that promise of eternal life through the Holy Spirit.
That's right.
Through that Holy Spirit promise. And so here we have the terms of admission, the terms of forgiveness of our sins. It is right here to repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. And Carrie, a lot of times you'll hear people say, well, now what about that thief on the cross? And that thief on the cross, had he been there that day,
that's right,
he would have had to submit to the same terms that we submit to today in order to have our sins washed away, in order to be added to the kingdom, in order to be added to the body, in order to be added to the church, Acts chapter 2 and verse 47.
You know, David, talking about that, it's amazing to me, you don't hear people talk about, well, I want to be saved like the man that was paralyzed in Mark chapter 2.
Mm-hmm.
You know, his four friends brought him. They tore out the roof because they couldn't get into the house. They tore out the roof. They lowered the man down. And when they did this, Jesus said to that man, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. Of course, that caused quite a stir by the scribes that were there, and they began to reason in their heart and said, this man is speaking blasphemy, because who can forgive sins but God only? And they're right.
Mm-hmm.
God's the only one that can ultimately forgive sins.
Right.
And so immediately it says in verse 8, Jesus perceived in his spirit that they reasoned so within themselves. And he said, why are you reasoning these things in your heart? Verse number 9, whether it is easier to say to the sick of palsy, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise and take up thy bed and walk. Friends, listen to Mark 2 and verse 10. But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, he saith to the sick of palsy, I say also unto thee, arise, take up thy bed, and go thy way into thine own house. David, while Jesus was on this earth, he could forgive the man who was sick of palsy.
Mm-hmm.
He could forgive the woman at the well of Samaria.
Right.
He could forgive the woman that was caught in the act of adultery in John chapter 8. He could forgive the thief on the cross. But once Jesus died, the Bible tells us in Hebrews 9 and verse number 15 that when a person dies, their will comes into effect and it cannot be changed.
Right.
And we are now living under the last will and testament of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And his inspired apostles said, repent and be baptized. Friends, if you want to go to heaven, you've got to be baptized. That's what the Bible says.
That is exactly what the Bible says. It's very important that we understand that the apostles didn't say this, but God, the Holy Spirit, said
speaking
this. And this is what makes the Bible inspired. And
that's right.
And why people want to kick against this, it's beyond me. It wouldn't make me any difference what he said for me to do. If I want to go to heaven, I'm going to do it.
Yeah.
And so we need to understand that this is Bible inspiration. That's what we're talking about here. What is the purpose of this Holy Spirit? It is to inspire this word so that we get God's words right straight out of the book.
Yes.
God's words right straight out of the book. And so Paul, through his preaching, he claimed this Holy Spirit inspiration. In 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 1, we read what Paul is claiming here. He's claiming Holy Spirit inspiration. In chapter 4 and verse 1, he says, now the Spirit speaks expressly.
Amen. Plainly, clearly.
Very plainly. And this Spirit is speaking through Paul. And that's what he wants us to understand. He's giving the source of authority here. Paul doesn't have it.
Yes.
All he is a spokesman. All
that's
he
right.
is a penman.
That's right.
And that's all he has is that to give. But that is very, very important that we have.
Well, David, you know, the apostles called themselves ambassadors. And an ambassador, when he goes to another country, like our ambassador to Mexico, he can't just go down there and say, well, you know, we're going to do this, this, and that. He can speak only by the authority given to him by the President of the United States.
Right.
So he can't go down there and make his own deal with Mexico. He can only speak for the President of the United States. And in the very same way, with the apostles being ambassadors for Christ, they can only speak those words that came from Jesus Christ. This is not their opinion. And by the way, we see we've got another listener from Roanoke, Texas on the internet. And so we're glad that you're listening up there in Roanoke and all over, friends. But what we're saying is what they spoke was not their own words. It was the words of God inspired through the Holy Spirit of God.
Right. And Peter writes in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 12, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us, they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Spirit sent down from heaven.
That's exactly
now,
right.
Now, these are the words of God. Now, when people want to fight against the word of God, I can't help them.
That's right.
I can direct you into what God has told you to do. I can direct people into what God has told us not to do.
Yes.
But if they want to fight against the words of God, we can't help. They've taken their help out of our hands.
You know, David and John wrote in the book of Revelation several times, but in chapter 1 and verse 10 and chapter 4 and verse 2, that he was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. In other words, the Holy Spirit was directing him, and it was on the Lord's day. Well, friends, the Lord's day is the first day of the week, what we now call Sunday. And in Revelation 14 and verse 13, he said, I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write. So he's saying, you've got to write these words down, and I want you to realize you're inspired by the Holy Spirit, and so write these words down. And friends, eight men penned the New Testament, and they could not have given us a perfect Christ. In other words, they could not given us this picture of the perfect Christ without the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. They could not have given us a perfect plan of salvation. David, if you and I were to write this out, we'd have to get grammar checks, and then we'd have to get somebody to edit it and do all. They had a perfect plan of pardon, and they could not have done that without the inspiration of the Holy Spirit.
Well, the evidence, Kerry, is overwhelming, and I hope we have put that out there. And it's very important that we have this evidence. We as human beings need this evidence, and the evidence is overwhelming. And now that we have the evidence, why would anyone refuse the commands of God's plan of pardon? Why would anybody question his methods of righteousness? Just do it.
That's exactly right. Yeah.
And we're just about out of time, and we want to thank everybody for listening to us today. And I want to close by saying you can rest assured that this word of God is revealed to us in the Bible. This is God's word. And we can take this word and we can have assurance that if we do what he says to do, we're not going to have a problem.
That's right.
We are not going to have a problem. I want to close by saying God bless America and hand it right over to you.
Well, friends, I want to remind you of something that we said earlier there at Park Heights Church of Christ in Hamilton. Tomorrow night at 7 o'clock, we're hosting the Summer Youth Series. So y'all come, you're going to hear a great preacher. That's me, by the way. You're going to get to hear me preach the gospel, and then we're going to have food. So y'all come and see us tomorrow night. We appreciate you listening, and God bless you as you study his divine word.